You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media, and we're about to get into a very interesting conversation, right? It's going to be very nice. So do let me know on +27 73 470 3520 what your thoughts are and what you know, or maybe even your comments. They're actually quite, we quite welcome them. And this week we're speaking about all things salvation and faith, because why our 10 days of prayer is all about faith. So we're going to be speaking about that. And someone this morning was like, Aibu, you have to speak about faith first before salvation. I'm like, whoa. Going to speak about salvation first, then we speak about all things faith, right? And to help me unpack what salvation really is, because sometimes we don't get it, or we confuse it with something else. Yes, Guning is that we are dealing with as a people, you know. But Pastor Zibula is joining us to help us unpack what is salvation and does it really matter? Does like really, you know? Mfundisi, good morning. How are you?
A very good morning to you. Thanks. I'm good, thanks. And how are you?
I am good, Mfundi. So you are very far from the phone.
I hope you can hear me now.
Yes, it's a bit better. It's a bit better now, Mfundi. Compliments over the new season.
compliments. I hope, everything is okay there at the studio. And
yes.
Yeah, I'm so excited for today's conversation as well.
Thank you so much, Mfundi Swami. I'm also super excited as well. And I know you love such topics, so that's why I chose you. Before we start, Mfundi Swami, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray so that the Holy Spirit may lead us?
Yeah, sure. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity of delving deeper into your word and discussing salvation. I pray that, Lord, you might show us the truth that is found in this salvation concept. And Father, help us, Lord, to break it down accordingly so that, Lord, at the end of it all, Father, people might be saved and have a better understanding about salvation. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray and ask, amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, what is salvation?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't prepared for that. But yeah, anyway, I would define salvation as deliverance.
Okay.
So deliverance from what? Salvation is deliverance from sin, mm-hmm. and its consequences. And this we derive from Luke 19:10, where it says, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. So salvation is basically delivering one from sin, which separates from God and its consequences.
Does it matter? Like, does the whole salvation? I hear the definition from the Swami Uguti, it's being saved from it's delivered. Ooh, English today. Right? But does it matter, you know, that I'm delivered from sin? What if I'm enjoying my sin? What if I don't want to get delivered? Does the whole salvation matter?
Yeah, sure. I mean, let's give a practical example of Christianity as a whole. We're talking about people, you know, who used to do really, really bad things out there, but when they came in contact and touch of salvation, then they changed. So salvation, in a sociological point of view, does have an impact in our society because it changes people's lives and it brings the community together. And it changes people's worldview and how they view things and, you know, what they do and what they practice from day to day. So indeed, salvation from a sociological point of view does matter.
Mm.
It matters more even from a spiritual point of view.
Okay.
Because you know, it reconnects us with God. And I want to say that probably, the world, the atheistic worldview might say, no, this is just, you know, a bunch of useless values that the Christian religion is advocating. But, you know, it's gonna be more visible, you know, as we come towards the end of this world's history.
So you mentioned us being delivered from sin, right? Who is delivering us from this sin? Let's start it there before I come with my with my hammer question. So who is delivering us, Mpundizwami, from this particular sin?
Sure. I don't even want to say it is Christ, but I want to say it is God himself.
Okay.
Taking it from how the universe was before sin entered, you know, the universe was timeless, sin brought in time, and God stepped into time himself by becoming human beings in order to save us from the element of time back into eternity. So it is God, for God so loved. It wasn't Jesus who so loved, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So, speaking of salvation, it is God. And of course, when we're talking about the Trinity, it is God, the Spirit, the Son, working together to accomplish, a common goal of saving the world. So it originates with God, and it originates with love, and then all the other, pieces join together.
Yes, as with simple minds, you have confused us, Mfundis. So it's God, not Jesus.
It's God. It originates with God. It is propagated by Jesus and propagated by the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah, man, you came with that big word there. Propagated.
I even forgot it.
So you said, you see, I'm listening.
Sure.
You said it originated with God, and it was propagated by Jesus. The last part of the Holy Spirit I didn't hear. So now comes in the question of Pundiswam. Did it have to be Jesus Christ, the one who propagated, the one whom now, if you find most people like who themselves salvation come with, they're going to say Jesus. You know, that's why I was like, hey, us with simple minds, you're confusing us there a bit. So now the question comes that this salvation that we are enjoying, some of us, others are yet to receive it, right? Did it have to be Jesus Christ? Like, couldn't it have been any other person? Or there is a significance as into why it had to be propagated, you see my English, by Jesus Christ?
Yes. Now, you need to note something when we deal with these matters.
Okay.
Salvation was not an afterthought. It wasn't as a result of sin. In other words, it wasn't a contingency measure.
Okay.
That because the universe is ruined with sin, then let's devise a way of saving human beings. It has always been within the plan of God, redemption has always been within the providence of God, that human beings learn more about him and commune with him. And if you read, I think in Patriarchs and Prophets, it says that ultimately human beings were supposed to end in heaven with God. The concept then became realized more when sin entered, because now the character of God was in question here. God's reputation was in question. Had he destroyed Satan there and there immediately, then there was going to be a problem of angels and all the unfallen worlds worshiping God as a dictator with fearfulness, So God had to prove his love now. The Bible says in 1 John 4, verse 8, God is love. You know, he had to prove his love by he himself, you know, Jesus, who has all the Godhead bodily in his body, coming into the earth and dying, you know. So it couldn't have been any other angel. It couldn't have been Gabriel, but it was supposed to be God himself.
Ah, I see. So here, when one has received this, wait, do you receive or you accept salvation? I don't know. So when all of that is done, right, you are now saved. Can one lose their salvation, or once saved, always saved?
That's a good question. That's a good question. And it's a tricky one as well. But in order for us to also, like, you know, get a clear understanding about salvation, we need to go to the sanctuary model itself.
Mm-hmm.
So in the sanctuary, for an example, I'll just make an example. So we said when we started, salvation is being saved from sin and its consequences. What is sin? Sin is a transgression of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Sin is missing the mark.
Mm.
So when we come to the sanctuary, the Israelites were to bring a lamb to sacrifice in the sanctuary, which symbolizes Christ and his death. But now there is this concept of covered sins and blotted out sins. So if I came with my lamb in the sanctuary to confess my sin, my sin was forgiven. And my sin was covered. That's why when you read in Psalm chapter 32, verse 1, it says, blessed is the one whose sin is covered. In as much as the sin is forgiven and covered, it wasn't blotted out of the sanctuary, which basically meant that, you know, one was not supposed to relax until the day of atonement, when sins are blotted out. So is salvation a one-time thing? I refuse to believe that. I don't believe that salvation is a point in time. It's a process in time, because when we are justified, we also need to be sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why Paul says in Romans 1 verse 16 and 17, he says in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. In other words, you have God's imputed righteousness and you have God's imparted righteousness. Imputed righteousness is God making you right the moment you accept Christ. But still, you know, you have evil traits, you have evil habits, you have evil propensities within you, and sanctification needs to take place. And hence we're talking about God's imparted righteousness, which happens daily. That is why, even with salvation, before you come in, maybe let me share this one quickly. That is why, when it comes to salvation, you'd find the Bible saying that we have been saved as a perfect, past perfect tense. We have been saved by grace. That's Ephesians chapter 2. And then in another part, you'd find in Matthew 24, the Bible saying, He who endures until the end shall be saved. That is future tense now. And then if you read from the surface, you'd be confused to say, but in Ephesians it says we have already been saved the moment we receive Christ. But here it says, if we endure in Christ, then we shall be saved, which poses a confusion, which is not really a confusion, because salvation is past tense, present tense, and future tense to show its continual progression.
What I was going to ask Mpundi, so I think you partially answered it, but you're going to expatiate on it, right? Because there are some people, before they get the teachings and reading and knowing more, right, who think or tend to believe that once I'm saved, it means that I'm now righteous and I'm free from sin. Is that the thing? Once I'm saved as Uzana, does it mean that now I'm righteous, I'm free from sin? Or, aye, girl, whoa, brick, there's still a lot of work, you know, in me. Just because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior does not mean that now I'm righteous, but there is work.
Right. Now, let me come back to my point and probably clarify it.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness, imputed righteousness puts you at a right standing, at a legal standing. So you'll find that in Romans, Paul uses legal terms, because these people were Romans, you know, and Rome, you couldn't separate Rome with the law at that time. So Paul uses legal terms. So imparted righteousness, which is justification, I mean, imputed righteousness, which is justification by faith, legally puts you at a right standing with God, legally. Okay? But now, I can be a legal citizen.
Okay.
But still, you know, do illegal practices. I don't know if I'm making sense. The court might not convict me of murder, but my thoughts can be thinking murder. You know, I would be murdering people in my thoughts, even though I'm at a right standing with the South African court. So, let me probably further elaborate on what I'm saying. Paul is basically saying to us, through justification, we are made to be at peace legally with God. But now, this peace is not in us yet, because we still have evil propensities. We still have evil character traits. There are some things that need to change in our lives. We haven't become new creatures. We haven't developed God's image in us, which was distorted when Adam fell into sin. So that's where now God's imparted righteousness needs to come. You know, with us now daily fighting the battle. When Paul says, it is no longer I who live it, but Christ lives in me. You know, I'm crucified with him. The crucifixion happens daily. And I think he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as well, that I die daily. You know, so it's a daily battle. Salvation now becomes a daily battle of us fighting our old nature so that the new nature might appear.
You may continue.
In a nutshell, what I'm saying is, the system of saying once saved, always saved, it doesn't really work, because you know, it jumps a step. It goes from justification to glorification, and it doesn't feature in sanctification anywhere there. So, yes, in as much as we are in a right standing with God, that doesn't guarantee our seat in heaven, because we need the process of sanctification to take place.
I don't know if I did say, you know, in our discussion this whole week, if we're gonna speak about the blood, but I'm just gonna drop it in there as we wrap up on this one, because you said that it was God Himself, right? So did it really need blood for the salvation, or that was just an added dramatic effect?
Yes, I mean, it definitely needed blood. The Bible states, without the remission of, you know, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, Hebrews 9:22. But look at the model of salvation that God introduces to us in the book of Genesis chapter 3. The Bible says God Himself, you know, God Himself prepared a lamb for them. And from the death and the shedding of blood of the lamb in Genesis chapter 3, clothing was provided to cover their nakedness. And the Bible says, you know, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. So it was God's precedence, which was set there to say, you know, the blood is needed. A substitution is needed. Adam was supposed to die, but a sinless animal died in his stead, and blood was shed.
All right. We're gonna go deeper into the whole blood issue, you know, during the whole week. But Mpundisi, is thank you, you know, for coming through and you know, laying the foundation on the whole discussion about salvation, because it's sometimes we lose it, like not the salvation, but what it really means, and we do our own things. But thank you so much, Mpundisi, for coming through and speaking to us. The in closing words on the definitions and why salvation is important.
Yes, So, I mean, salvation is important because you know, it not only puts us at a good state with God. It does not only you know, legally make us right with God, but it gets into our lives as well. It gets into our practices, our all. You know, it has to do with everything: our finances, our families, our jobs, our, you know, our thoughts, everything that has to do with us. Salvation, you know, affects every aspect of our lives. And just maybe to finish it off with regards to the blood, the Bible says in Leviticus 17, verse 11, you know, that the children of Israel were not supposed to eat blood because that is where the life lies. You know, we were dead. There was supposed to be a shedding of blood, you know, so that we might be made live again, because the blood has life. So I think we're gonna extrapolate more on that in the coming days. But yeah, thank you so much. It was a fruitful discussion, and I hope that you had a blessed day.
Indeed, Mfundiswami, thank you so much for coming through. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.